I'd like to invite you now to turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew. Tonight we are going to be looking at Matthew chapter 13, verses 47 through 50. Matthew chapter 13, we will begin the reading in verse 47. Before we hear God's word, if you would join your hearts together with me in prayer. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for the righteousness of Christ that merits our salvation, our justification and adoption. We thank you for the voice of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who speaks to us powerfully with characters written in blood through the Holy Scriptures. We pray, Father, that you would open our ears to hear the voice of our compassionate and kind Savior speaking to us this evening through the gospel, through the reading of Scripture. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 13, beginning in verse 47. Beloved, this is the word of God. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers, but threw away the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the word of God. Well, this is the final parable in this cluster of parables here. And during this time, we are told that Jesus spoke to the crowds in nothing but parables. Or this is the final parable during the time that Jesus said that. There are, of course, several other parables that Jesus later recorded in Matthew, which we'll look at in time. But this is the last of this group here. Now, we must remember here that these last few parables were spoken in a house where his disciples came to him. So these parables were given in order to give his disciples pictures of what the kingdom of heaven is like. And they would need this as deliverers of the gospel. They would need to understand what Jesus was saying later on so they could understand that this is what building the kingdom looks like. This is what kingdom advancement is like. Probably not what they might have expected. This was helpful for them, and it's helpful for us because the kingdom of heaven, as we've said before, is largely invisible. Our confession, Westminster Confession of Faith, teaches us that the church is the kingdom. And so from a biblical perspective, on some level, the church is the kingdom. It is proper to say then that you are the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are the kingdom. You are part of this kingdom. In this way then, we can see the kingdom. We can see the kingdom advancing. When we look into each other's faces, when we see one another, we see the kingdom. We see evidence of the kingdom of heaven here on earth. When we look into each other's faces, when we look into the faces of our children, there is the kingdom of God. Aside from this, though, the kingdom of heaven is partly invisible, in fact, even largely invisible, and it advances invisibly in the hearts of the people of God. Think about what Paul says in Romans 14. The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit are not things that you can necessarily measure and see with your physical eyes. There is an invisible nature to the way the kingdom advances in this world by the power of the Holy Spirit. So with this in mind, we can understand how these parables help us. They give us pictures from things we understand to understand what's taking place in the invisible realm, in the kingdom of God. The disciples, when they were called, were told that as they followed Jesus, they would become fishers of men. And so Jesus accommodates to them. He uses language here and pictures that they would easily understand. Some of these men were fishermen when Jesus called them. This is what he was doing here. The kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. And so Jesus compares the kingdom of God to a fishing net. A fishing net would be cast out. A fisherman would cast out a fishing net as wide as possible so as to hopefully bring in as many fish as possible. It would not be wise to try to relegate your casting of the net to a small portion of the sea. You want to cast it out wide and far so as to have a better chance to bring in more fish. Well, this is what happens when fishermen cast their nets. And when they cast the net far and wide, they bring in all kinds of fish. So at this stage of fishing, casting the net, the fishermen are not able to separate yet. They are not able to separate the good fish from the bad fish, the spoiled fish, the fish that cannot be used for consumption. They can't separate the fish yet. They're at this casting out stage. The fishermen can't be selective in where they cast the net. To put it another way, the fishermen at this stage of fishing do not have the luxury of trying to catch only good fish. They don't have that luxury. They don't have that privilege at this stage. They have to cast it out wide. If they want to get any good fish at all, the net must be cast out as wide as possible, and they must bring in everything that net pulls. If they are to catch any good fish at all, they must cast their net in this way. We see, though, that eventually there is a separation. Eventually there is no more casting out. Eventually, in the stage of fishing, you don't cast the net anymore. You're done casting the net. You start to separate. Verse 48, when it was full, men drew it in ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers, but threw away the bad. Meaning, stage one is complete. They've cast out the net. It's full. Now it's time to sit down and separate the fish. Now, some of these fishermen, disciples that Jesus was speaking to, would have been very familiar with this picture. They would have done this hundreds, maybe thousands of times. They knew what this looked like. There are two stages of fishing, the gathering and the final separation. This image of men dragging the net to shore and sitting down, it carries the idea that the gathering stage is over. They are no longer casting the net out. They've sat down. The first stage is complete. The net is full, it's brought onto shore, and the workers sit down. The fishing stage, the net throwing stage, is done. All that is left to do now is separate the good from the bad. Now, it's very clear that not all the fish are good. The net is full, but not all of the fish are good. Some fish are rotten. Jesus explains here that the fish in the parable represent people. The fish are symbols of living people, living active souls. And that the separating stage of fishermen in the parable represents the end of the age. So will it be at the end of the age. That's what Jesus says here. At the end of the age, when Jesus returns, the casting out stage is over. The casting, the net of the gospel is complete. When Jesus returns, he will send his angels and he will separate the evil from the righteous. The evil people are those who reject the gospel. So all kinds of unbelievers, all kinds of hard-hearted unbelievers who rejected the overtures of the gospel throughout the course of their whole life, and now they are being separated from those who belong in the kingdom of God. Jesus will have them cast into the fiery furnace, as he says here, which is a reference to hell, of course. Jesus further describes this place as a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. To put it simply, it is a place of unending torment and pain. This is where unbelievers go, the bad fish, and this is where they deserve to go. This is perfect justice being rendered at the end of the age towards those who would not repent. Now, we are told the smoke from the burning of this furnace goes up forever and ever. On the other hand, the righteous, you and I, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, the good fish, as Jesus refers to them here, The righteous will be gathered up by the Lord to be with him in the consummated kingdom of heaven. We will be gathered up to be with him in the new heavens and the new earth. It's represented somewhat by a container here. The good fish go into a container. We will go into the new heavens and the new earth with the Lord Jesus Christ to be with him forever. And there we will shine like the sun in the kingdom of our Father. You remember those words from a previous parable, verse 43. The righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. That's what we have to look forward to. This is our destiny. And nothing can thwart that destiny. The lesson for us from this parable is similar to the other lesson that we learned about the parable of the weeds. There, Jesus said that the sons of the kingdom and the sons of the evil one will grow up together until harvest time. The end of the age in that parable was referred to as a harvest, the final harvest of good wheat. In that parable, the context is the whole world. And so the field is the world. That's what Jesus says. The weeds are the sons of the evil one. And these sons of the evil one, the weeds, grow up next to the righteous, next to believers, next to you and I, until the end of the age. And that parable taught us that those weeds are a result, a direct result of the devil's activity. He plants his sons in the world precisely to oppose the kingdom in some way. He wants the kingdom to be destroyed, the kingdom of heaven, that is. But Scripture teaches us that is impossible. He is seeking to accomplish something that cannot happen and will not happen. But he does it anyway. And so for the church, we have to grow up in our neighborhoods, the neighborhoods of our churches, in the world in general. We grow up next to weeds. We grow up next to the sons of the devil, wicked people, who many of them will stay wicked until the end of their life, until the end of the age. Jesus says, let them all grow up together. And we do that partly because some of those people are the elect. Some of them will be called and be drawn into the kingdom of God. Nevertheless, the wicked and the righteous will grow up together in the world. We are told in Scripture that the gates of hell cannot prevail against what the church does. Now, here in this parable, though, we get perhaps closer to home. That parable was talking about the whole world. And surely we know that in the world there's wicked people. We can look down the streets of our homes and know that not everyone is a Christian. And some of them are quite dark, quite wicked. And we can read in the news about these types of people, and it brings us sorrow about the wickedness in the world. But that's the world at large. The throwing out of the net in this parable is a picture of the gospel ministry of the church. What is brought into the church? Now, here at Providence and in other churches, our doors are open for the most part. We welcome any and all who would come. Come, hear the gospel. You're welcome here. We want all to come and hear the good news of Jesus Christ. We're not selective when we see people walk up to the door. I hope we're not. We open the doors wide. We open them far. We open our arms. We welcome people to come and hear the gospel. In this way, then, we attract good fish, righteous people, the elect. The gospel should be attractive. It should be something that is attractive to people. And our attitudes as Christians, when people come, should be something that is attractive to people, especially Christians. As Christians come through our door, we want them to know that the love of Christ is present here. And we do that here at Providence. But that is always the goal. And so we attract good fish, and when we open our doors wide and we open our arms to all people, we attract the elect. And so they are gathered here, they begin to be nourished here, they begin to be built up in Christ. And this is a wonderful thing. But this parable makes it clear that not everyone who comes has sincere motives. The gospel attracts even those whose hearts are impure. They're referred to here as the evil ones, those who are evil. Now, this doesn't mean that we should not seek to protect our worship and our church. We should. Nor does this mean that we never have to address evil behavior in the church. Certainly, we do have to address sinful behavior in the church. It's part of the way in which we protect the purity of the body. But the parable does teach us that we should never stop casting our net until the end of the age. We should never stop casting it out wide. We should never stop welcoming whoever would come. And we cannot be selective. And we especially can't be selective about the types of Christians that come here. I hope we get that message too from this parable. We want all kinds of people who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but we are always welcoming to all kinds of people in general. We don't know who all of the good fish are all the time. Until Jesus comes, we continue to fish for men. That's what we do here at Providence, what local churches do here that do elsewhere. We cast the net out, open our doors, and preach the gospel, and whoever may come, may come. That is the attitude we are to have. And as we do this, we ultimately leave the results and the final separation to the master fisherman, Jesus Christ. That's the goal. That's the way we should go about doing things. Cast our net far and wide. We let the separating be done by Jesus himself. He knows the hearts of men. We don't all the time. We can't peer into the depths of a person's heart. And so this is what the church does. The disciples would have needed to know this. They would see all types of people be drawn into the preaching of the gospel. They could not be selective about who would come, who would listen. And so this is what must be done in the church. Now, when we think about this parable, we have to ask the question, did Jesus not at one time catch you in his net? Were you not part of his catch? When he cast out his net in the gospel, you heard it, you were drawn in. You are one of these fish at one point. What were you like then? What was I like then? What are we like today? Who's to say that someone like the Pharisees, someone who didn't understand the principle from this parable, someone who was quick to judge, someone who did want to be selective in who is drawn into the net, who's to say they would look at you when you were first drawn in and say, no, you're not welcome here? You see where we're coming from here in this parable. We can't be selective. We will draw all kinds of people, and many of them, praise the Lord, will be good fish. And so we cannot be as those who would prejudge who comes through our doors at the church, at Providence. Now, we still need to be wise. We are called also to protect the sheep in our care. We must not forget, for those who believe, or we must protect the sheep in our care, to be sure. But we must not forget that for those who believe, the blood of Jesus covers over all sin. It covers over all sin. All types of sin. All types of egregious sin. If someone believes and they embrace Christ, they are forgiven. But they might not look that way to you when you first meet them. They might not look the way we think we want them to look. The standards that we have for ourselves, the standards that we have for this church, for the people that we want to be around when we come to worship. But Christ's blood is not selective when it comes to those who embrace the gospel. It covers over all sin. Now, we are not always the best of judges when it comes to distinguishing between who we think are good fish and who we think are bad fish. The disciples struggled with this. Remember the times when they said, Jesus, do you want us to call out fire from heaven and destroy these people? That is our attitude at times, is it not? We're selective. The church is selective. But that is not what this parable teaches us to be like. That is not the attitude we are to have. If we take this parable seriously, we cast our net and we invite all types of fish to come in, and we welcome them. Jesus will take care of the rest. When it comes to distinguishing between the good fish and the bad fish, we cannot compare to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Let us rather than, friends, cast the net far and wide into the sea. Let us continue to cast this net that we're casting here at Providence far and wide into the sea. And let us pray that the Lord of the seas, that he would fill our nets in accordance with his will. To Christ be all praise and glory now and forever.